talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa, cindyschulte.com, and Fred Haas, over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred Double D, Haas Double A.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. It's a beautiful, bright, sunny day outside, and the coffee pot's perking, and we got coffee going here, and welcome to the coffee table here at Catholic Women.
A little bit of tea, a little bit of bottle of water maybe in front of you.
No. I drink coffee. What do you drink, Chris?
Usually tea. I'm supposed to stay away from coffee right now. I've got enough energy lately.
I'm sure I'm supposed to, too, but you know what? I don't.
Well, we might need it as the season approaches, all the holidays ahead of us.
Yeah, it's a busy year, busy time of year, and we're going to talk about that today on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can quiet our hearts and find joy through the Advent season, and you know, I think a lot of people are looking for joy.
We are. This world needs some joy.
There's a lot of suffering going on right now. And then we have a guest with us today, Melanie Schenkel. She is a mom, a Texas mom. She's got a sweet drawl. I could listen to that drawl all day long in her Texas voice. And she's going to be talking about her latest book, The Church of the Small Things. And it kind of ties into Advent season about finding the how we serve God in the day-to-day.
The simple and small things. That's right.
Yes, yes. So I'm excited to introduce her to our listeners. She's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun to talk to.
Well, you know what? Even if she wasn't fun, her Southern accent makes her sound fun, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yep, I agree. Well, should we start with a prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we're excited here at Iowa Catholic Radio. We have a dinner in December coming up, December 8th at the Yonkers Tea Room, and seats are selling.
Matter of fact, Julie and I have a table together, so when you're there, come say hi to us. You can catch us at the same table this
year. Yes, we love, love, love to hear from you and meet you, so please do that. We're excited, too, because the keynote speaker is Dr. David Anders, who is the host of Call to Communion, which is a show heard weekly here at 1 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, and John Leonetti was saying he met him at the EWTN radio conference, and he goes, he's going to be fabulous. He's going to be a fabulous speaker. So I'm excited to hear him.
You know, the thing I love about him is he takes those tough questions, and he's so kind to people with them, but he's very firm. Kind of reminds me of my grandma. My grandpa is what I should be saying for Dr. David Anders.
No, that's a gift. That's a gift. The truth and love.
Yes.
That's the truth and love.
We could all learn.
And one more thing to say about the dinner, it's downtown, and not to be worried about parking because there's free valet parking will be available. So
The tea room, it'll be awesome.
It's beautiful. You and I have seen it. It's it's gorgeous. So
yes, they've done a great job in keeping it historical, too. So come see it. Come join us.
And we want to welcome all new listeners this week from the Basilica of St. John who are doing the Encounter Jesus Challenge where they're listening to Iowa Catholic Radio for a week. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you with us.
Yeah, join us. And I have a feeling that once you're with us for a week, you won't leave us.
Well, that's what we've been hearing from people. You learn.
It's in your blood.
And your faith grows and you're just like, wow. Plus, I like the fact that I like to hear the positive.
Yes.
The positive message.
Well, you know what? That's what happened to me. You know, you start listening. I started to listen during Lent. And after that, it was kind of like, ooh.
And now look at you. You're on the radio.
Just when you think you're done, they just keep bringing you back.
You're on the radio now. Well, I started listening because I just got tired of all the negative news and the other news sources. And I like getting news through the Catholic's perspective.
Exactly what happens to me.
And you hear the truth, and the truth just makes so much sense, and it's just really liberating.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You get tired of, for me, I got tired of the music options. I even went to country for a while, and I'm generally not a country listener, tired of country, so I was like, talk radio, here we come. So,
yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, well, we need to say thank you. Listen to me today. Thank you, Cindy Schulte of Farm Bureau Financial Services, for underwriting our show, Catholic Women Now. Cindy is an authorized agent from Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, and she makes insurance simple for all of us, and she helps us prepare for our future and protects those things and those people that matter most. Cindy Schulte is cindyschulte.com or 515-226-2111.
Well, Chris, a couple weeks ago on the show, we both were talking about how we were ready for Christmas, and we were kind of musing how we're surprised because it's so early for you and I to be excited about Christmas.
Yeah, and so many people are getting excited
early. I've been hearing it from friends, and I've been seeing people posting on social media how they just can't wait for Christmas. And I took that into prayer, and I said, Jesus, why is this? Why am I so excited? Because I'm usually like Advent, you know, do the Advent traditions and prayer and preparation for my heart for Jesus. And it came to me, we've heard there's a lot of human suffering in the world, and we're hearing a lot of tragedy, and people are wanting joy.
Looking for some light.
Some hope and light. So we thought, well, let's talk about Advent. It's 10 days away, and let's talk about ways that we can bring and prepare ourselves to experience that joy and to tap into that Advent joy of being prepared to receive the baby Jesus in our hearts at Christmas.
Yeah.
The good news.
Yes.
I love that. The good news.
And we have said in the past, you know, Advent can be somewhat of a penitential time, but it is the way we're preparing for the Lord to come. So in that light, in that vein, before we can get to that joy and let that joy erupt, you know, it's always good. I was saying, Julie, I'm going to tell a few little pieces for what, you know, to help. Before we get into Advent, what can we do? Before we get into Advent, do a good examination of conscience. You can find them online. And, you know, make a good reconciliation so that you can go into Advent preparing with joy for the season to come. You know, there's some things that just kind of hang over our heads, and we kind of keep stuffing them down. Why not get them out, clean out the cupboard, you know, and do a good reconciliation so that we're really ready for reconciliation. So before Advent begins, you know, before that time, which is very soon here, you know, kind of that idea of planning ahead. For it to come. Plan ahead to plan ahead.
Yeah. Well, you fail to plan to fail. Yeah. It's kind of one of those mantras, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do you have?
Well, you know, my other thought was just the idea of thinking ahead. And I'm a scheduling person. I have my calendar all laid out. So I think, you know what? I've got to, you know, we've got so many things on our calendar to do. We've got our shopping to do. We've got the parties to go to, you know, all those fun things that are bring some of the joy of the season out. Why not do two things with that? One, as you're wrapping those gifts, as you're shopping for that person, pray for that person. You know, make it a holy thing. Spray holy water on those clothes before they go into the box. You know, make it a holy thing so that it truly is a way to celebrate going into the season. And then the other thing that I thought is, I say I'm going to do this every year, but, you know, if you put it on your calendar, you might be more likely to do it. And so I've kind of told myself I'm going to do that this year, is put on my calendar that I'm done with all those things 3 days ahead of time so that I can.
3 days ahead of when?
3 days ahead of celebrating Christmas.
Christmas Day.
For me, you know, we celebrate earlier than the 25th, so I would have to back it up, you know, 3 days, like around the 19th. Be done by the 19th, Chris. And then I can sit and wait peacefully and in the joy of the season waiting for Jesus, you know, getting rid of the busyness earlier. That's kind of my thought. And then let your joy erupt when it's time.
Well, I kind of had a different take. Okay. I kind of went in a different vein when I was praying about it, and I want that joy, and I don't want to wait till Christmas, and I want to kind of build that joy inside of me. So I was thinking that during Advent is to take this time in the small moments, and when Melanie's going to talk a little bit more about this, to enjoy the beautiful things like Advent candles. You know, we have an Advent wreath, and now, I mean, our kids are older now, so it's a little easier to savor the moment, but I know when the kids were little, it was like, sit back and just for a minute, just take a snapshot of that in my mind about enjoying that light, what that represents, and the excitement building each week, lighting another candle, and then meeting another week closer to Jesus coming, the infant Jesus' birth. And then the other thing is seeing it through a child's eyes, just seeing the whole season through the child's eyes. The kids kind of brought that to my light when they were little, and I, you know, and you're busy doing things, and they would say, Mom, come sit in front of the Christmas tree. Let's just look at the beautiful lights. And I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, it's their.
I don't remember my kids saying that.
Oh, I remember them standing, you know, in the morning, I would turn on the lights in the tree, and they would come down and sit there. Not every morning. But, you know, in my mind, it was every morning now, but at the time it wasn't. But I just remember looking in their faces and seeing this awe and wonder of a simple thing as a Christmas tree. And I'm thinking, I need to slow down and just kind of have those snapshot moments, yes. I call them.
And you know what? The snowflakes coming down does that for me and my family.
Yeah.
But we don't always have snow on Christmas, so I like that idea.
So that's kind of been my thing, is just to find those little moments of the life. And you're talking about the Christmas gifts. I was even, some friends I've read, do their Christmas shopping before Advent. They get it all done. Now,
God
I'm not
them.
That organized.
Yes.
I'm not that organized but I to do that. But some people who are could do that. I have a sister-in-law who shops all year round, so she gathers them throughout the year, so she's ready. So, you know, it's you know, how you can work with that. But I just think that finding the joy in the little things is kind of important. And the other thing I was thinking about, Chris, is, you know, there's people kind of notice how Christmas decorations in the stores are so much earlier.
Oh, yes.
Do we have to do that? But I think we need to capitalize on that, because whether you believe in the birth of Jesus, and we do, and it's true, we're all celebrating something at Christmas.
Yes.
It's the one human family. And whether you're looking forward to, you know, gift buying or the celebrations of family gatherings, we're one human family coming together to experience something.
And so rather than getting grumpy about them putting them up too early, embrace it.
And, you know, and just say, you know, I even thought about, you know, if I'm out shopping, and so, and I'm with, you know, I see a stranger or something, just saying something like, hey, isn't this wonderful? This is about the good news. You know what the good news is? It's Jesus came to earth and he died for us.
Oh, you're out there evangelizing, Julie.
Well, I haven't done it yet, but I was just thinking, you know, that would be something that I have to kind of keep in my quiver to pull out if that happens, you know, if I have that opportunity.
Have it there. And you would do it.
Well,
you would
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I've choked a few times, so I'm not going to say
you
that.
Know what?
But
we all are, God knows we're not perfect evangelists, but the fact that we're trying to keep it, as you say,
the
in
desire.
Our quiver, you know.
Yeah. So that's where I kind of went with finding the joy and doing that. And I think Thanksgiving, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and gratitude brings hope.
Yes.
You know, you can't have hope without gratitude. And then that hope is the joy, and the joy is the love that comes down at Christmas, which is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so let's go get them.
Well, we're ready. We're prepared for Advent ahead of time. So we're preparing to prepare for the Lord to come.
That's
right.
I know it's going to come fast, because Thanksgiving, and wow, that's the first Sunday.
Boom. It's going to be here.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So.
Well, you're listening to Chris Magruder and Julie Nelson on Catholic Women Now. We're broadcast live from the Mercy Live Up studio on Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 94.5 and 88.5 FM. And streaming live at iowacatholicradio.com. You can listen to us in Africa. We had a listener from Africa listening to us. So wherever you are, turn us on. I have some aunts who are up in Fort Dodge who actually can hear us now, too. It's kind of fun.
Your aunts are so sweet. They come to the luncheons, the Mosaic luncheons, and they sit there, and they just look at you, and it's like, Chrissy, our sweetheart. It's just so the love.
Okay, Julie, you just let the cat out of the box. Now all the listeners know that I'm Chrissy with all my relatives.
I'm sorry.
Well, okay, now, did you have a nickname when you were a little girl, Julie?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll go past
that. I had one in college. It was Jules.
Oh, yeah.
In college.
Well, I call you Jules sometimes.
Yeah, my friends call me Jules.
Yeah, that works.
I don't know what my enemies call me, but my friends call me Jules.
Oh, well, you're a jewel.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're sweet.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're excited to have our guest on today, Melanie Schenkel. She's a Texas girl married to her sweetheart, Perry, and a mom to daughter, Caroline. She is the author of 3 New York Times bestselling books, Sparkly Green Earrings, The Antelope in the Living Room, and Nobody's Cuter Than You. And today, Melanie joins us to talk about her new book, Church of the Small Things. Welcome, Melanie, to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here with y'all this morning.
Oh, we're glad that you could come and be on our show with us
today. We were telling our listeners about your Texas accent and how we love hearing that.
Yeah, it's a little different. I can't turn it off, so I hope everybody can at least understand me, that I don't need subtitles.
Well, here's my take on a Texas accent, is that you could say the worst things and it would still be sweet sounding, you know.
Matter of fact, Julie, you know what? We're going to have to take lessons from you, Melanie. After the show, stay with us. You're going to teach us how to speak with that Texas drawl.
Or it might be before the end of the show.
I read something yesterday that said in Texas, when we say y'all meaning you all, but if it's a bunch of us, we'll say all y'all. So we're essentially saying all of you all is what we say.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I don't really know that.
Okay, you just kind of lost me there. No, but.
Well, you know, actually, yeah, the English teacher in me was right there with you, so I've got it, Melanie.
All y'all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about your book, The Church of the Small Things. Can you just tell us why you were inspired to write this? You've written three other books, and now a fourth book.
Yes, I wrote Church of the Small Things. My first book was on motherhood, and the second one was on marriage, and the third was on friendship. And so those were really, you know, the three most important components of my life. I mean, I guess underneath the heading of my faith. And I started writing Church of the Small Things. It started with an essay about my grandparents that I wrote. And it really began to dawn on me just what a difference that they made in just doing the small faithful things in their day-to-day life, that they just loved their family, that they welcomed everybody in, that they, you know, focused on their kids and on their grandkids and just loved us really well. And it just made me realize that we spend so much time in life kind of thinking that it's the big things that are going to matter the most, or the big things are going to be the things that define our lives, but that really it's the small day-to-day moments that really are the legacy that we leave behind. So that was kind of what the book was born out of.
You know, thinking of grandparents, my grandma, after she passed away, so many of us cousins stood up to talk about her, and we all kind of felt like we were her favorite because I think she did those small things, you know? And so what a great place to start is with just the way your grandparents would have treated you.
It is, because I think it's such a special, you know, as a kid, you look back and you think nobody loves you really like your grandparents, because they can make you totally rotten and send you back home, you know? So it's like you get all the love, but none of the discipline is, I guess, the joy of being a grandparent. And I think my grandmother was the same way. Like she would, we always said she was like a little Keebler elf, because she would like call you into where she supposedly had your secret stash of cookies just for you. And I realized later she did that for all our cousins.
Oh,
so we thought it was just for us.
Oh, that's sweet.
And just those things that make you feel so special and loved, and just that those are really the things you remember.
Yeah. I just think of Saint Therese, do small things with great in love, all things in love.
Yes.
And Mother
with great love.
Yeah. Just in the day to day. Well, I love the catchy titles you have on the chapters of this book. And you talk about one about aging and getting older and looking in the mirror. And I'm not sure which chapter that is, but is that the exercise one or?
I think exercise may be totally different. They're two totally different categories. How do we exercise? And how do we fight aging?
But you've talked a little bit about that, and just kind of share your thoughts on that with us.
You know, it's funny because I have a teenage daughter, and I'm in my mid 40s, and so I think it's such an interesting time in a woman's life as you're, you know, just aging. I mean, you look in the mirror. I mean, a lot of mornings I wake up and go, "Wow, that is not what I picture myself looking like." You know, I don't remember that I had those two deep creases in my forehead and those sunspots and all that stuff. And then, you know, I can look at my teenage daughter, who is becoming more and more beautiful every day. And it's just it's how to age gracefully. And I think that as a society, you know, it's so hard because I think people want to say, "Oh, you know, 40's the new 30. And you're like, "No, it's really not. 40's 40. You know, like, let's just embrace
it. Let's tell the truth.
I mean, you can say it all you want, but my knees don't sound the same when I get out of bed in the morning at 46 that they did when I was 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, nothing feels the same. And
well,
so it's,
Melanie, it's funny that you say your knees don't sound the same, because my knees used to not make any sound, and now they do.
That's it. You know, it's like things don't look the same and they don't feel the same. But for me, I think as I was, you know, really struggling with that aging thing and, you know, am I going to continue to dye my hair? Which the answer is yes. I will color my hair until I am dead in the ground. I mean, that is going to be my choice. And I know not everybody does it, but
I am
that vein. Yeah, I want to be a brunette forever. I don't want to be a gray-haired person. And there are women that look gorgeous with their gray hair. But I think it's, number one, finding what is right for you. And then I think, number two, to just recognize that aging is a gift. I mean, I lost, and I talk about it in the book, but I lost one of my dearest friends to breast cancer a year and a half ago. And, it made me more aware than ever that each day that we have is really a blessing, and just that aging is a gift in and of itself. And there's things that I know now in my 40s and wisdom that I have and life perspective that I didn't have when I was 30. So I just do it with louder knees.
I think that is a really great statement because, yeah, louder knees. and I do it with a hunched over back. So, but I think that's
exactly.
That's true. You know, I look at my teenage daughter and I think she has this beauty and youthfulness and energy, but I wouldn't necessarily trade that right now for the wisdom gleaned through the years.
Well, and when you really think about it, do you want to, I mean, I try to think of times, would I really truly want to go back and live in that moment? I'm done with the things that I've been through. I loved them, but I'm done with them. And the other thing, I had a good friend say to me one time when we were out on a walk and we must have been talking about aging and, you know, the different things that come with that. And she said, you know, it's a gift, like you said, Melanie, because you let go gradually so that you don't want to stay here. Because we're not supposed to want to stay here.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, there's a lot of wisdom behind that.
And I think in God, in his wisdom, his great infinite wisdom, I always think about the verse from Titus 2:5 about the older women should help the younger women. And I think that is such a beautiful way to look at aging. You know, we're not done. Mm-hmm. We're not put out to pasture or whatever. God still has a plan for us in these years of our life. Yeah. To help others.
Absolutely.
To reach back to those younger moms and not just teach them how to bake bread, but teach them about marriage, teach them about parenting, relationships, those type of things.
So. Yeah. If they will listen to us, right?
Yeah.
If they will listen to us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's so important to me is just the intergenerational, because I think as women, you know, in your church body or wherever your community is, it's like we have so much to teach each other. You know, I mean, I feel like the younger women can help us remember to invest in our lives and to pay attention and to have energy and to not give up. But then, as you know, I remember when I was a young mom, I loved having older women who could tell me that you're going to survive the toddler years. You know, it gets better than this. You're going to sleep again. All those things, like, we need that encouragement on both sides of it. Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're getting back to the, you know, the premise of your book, Church of the Small Things, as we reach those years and our kids are leaving home, there's sometimes this sense of, now what do I do? My kids have left home. They don't need me. Where do I fit in? It's right here, right before us in our churches, like you said.
Now, Julie, you're speaking my language because my son's moving out today.
Yeah. And so now what?
Wow.
Yeah. So now what? So it's right there in front of me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go off gallivanting. Thank you. All over the world, you know, going doing missions and trying to do this huge thing. It's just right here before me.
Yes.
Exactly. And it becomes, you kind of have this gift of time because all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm not chauffeuring somebody around town and I'm not getting up with a toddler every day. So like, where can I dial in? Like, can I lead a Bible study? Can I, you know, get more involved with like volunteer work or all that stuff? And it gives us ways to, you know, be a part of our community that maybe we didn't have time to when we had kids under the roof.
You know? And so many times we go, I'm the taxi driver. We are complaining about it, you know. But the thing is, okay, so now you don't have the taxi driver. Now you have that time. Uh-huh. You know, it is a blessing.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that wherever we're at in life, you know, sometimes you want to kind of complain about it rather than just the church of small things. You know, when you're in your van, though, there's a small moment to do what Julie Nelson always did.
No.
Say the rosary with your kids. Oh, yes, you did.
You put me on a pedestal. I tried.
But, you know, to make that van your church, I think that's beautiful.
When I lived in... When I was a mom with small kids and lived in Indianapolis, my neighbor witnessed this to me. She was, her kids were in high school, but she would go and visit nursing homes and things like this. And one day she came over and I had two kids at the time. We had two kids and the older one was two and the younger one had colic and he was a newborn. And she came over one day. She goes, how about if I take your older son and we'll just go to the nursing home? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Wow. She just came in and swooped him up and took him for a couple hours. And then she took him one time so I could go do some Christmas shopping. And I think that's it. I mean, I lived next door to her. I was right next door and she saw the Church of the Small Things right there.
I love that.
And I think I got to remember that.
Well, we wanted to talk about social media, but we're getting close on time here. So tell us, how has your faith been shaped through the small moments of the Church of Small Things or any ahas that you've had, Melanie?
You know, I think for me, it's just, it's God has really shown me that that's where he shows up, that it's, you know, I can feel so much pressure of, am I supposed to be doing these big things? I think sometimes we think, am I supposed to be out on a foreign mission field? Am I supposed to be adopting 17 kids? Am I supposed to be, you know, doing all these things? But it's just for me that God takes me back to, like, the way you change the world is you start in the walls of your home. You start by loving your family. You start by investing in your neighbors and in your school community or your work community or wherever he's placed you, because you look at the whole big world and you think he chose to put you exactly where you are in this time and in this generation. And to me, one of the things that God just kept bringing to my mind as I wrote this book was, I was like, when you look at Jesus and when he walked on earth, I was like, he developed relationships with 12 men, and that's ultimately how he changed the world. I mean, he wasn't off. He wasn't doing anything. They saw him, and they saw the way that he loved them. They saw what he did. They saw the way that he changed people's lives, and that ultimately changed the course of humanity. And that we have that same thing, that God's given us that same ability to do that in our sphere of influence. And what may seem really small to us, can really make a difference to somebody else, even just something as being kind. I mean, I tell my daughter that every day. I'm like, look for the new kid, look for ways to help, look for places where you can make a difference, because you never know how much somebody's hurting that's right there next to you.
I love that.
Amen. That's a great message to go out on, Melanie. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And again, it's Melanie Shankle, The Church of the Small Things. I'm sure you can get it at our local Catholic bookstore, Divine Treasures. And Melanie, you keep doing great things for Jesus there. Happy Thanksgiving.
I will. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. Thank you so much for having me today.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Catholic Women Now, and we're grateful for Fred Haas Law Offices. Mr. Haas is an experienced Iowa attorney with over 35 years of legal expertise. When retained by a client, Mr. Haas provides a personal service and attention, and he understands people who have suffered personal injury and that they often deal with a lot of pain and suffering. He offers his free consultation. Even though he's located in Des Moines, he serves people throughout all of Iowa. 515-256-6301 or 888-338-6535. FredHaas.com. Fred double D, Haas double A.
Well, should we close out in prayer?
Let's do. And I'm going to take something a little bit from the gospel this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, in the gospel of Luke, you said the kingdom of God is right here at hand. Help us to see the small things in our daily lives that we may serve you in the day-to-day moments. Amen.
Amen.
And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, the Iowa Catholic Rosary is up next. Stay with us. You're welcome also to send us a tax-deductible donation, because you keep us alive at Iowa Catholic Radio so we can teach, evangelize, and defend the Catholic faith, and you can do it with us that way. We always say on Catholic Women Now, we love you guys. You're great. Praying for you. Now you go do impossible things with God.
Talking about the things that matter most to you. Today's Catholic Women. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder is underwritten by Fred Haas. Over 30 years helping injured Iowans recover losses from accidents and work-related injuries. Fred double D, Haas double A. And Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, a licensed representative of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Iowa. CindySchulte.com. Catholic Women Now with Julie Nelson and Chris Magruder. Every Thursday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the radio voice for Catholic Women Now. 1150 a.m., 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. And on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Iowa Catholic Radio.